And we thank you because you have given us many gifts, and each one of us possess these gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. So be with us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and enable us again to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This we ask in your name. Amen. How many of you have heard about Pentecost? Well, how many of you have heard about Shavuot? Okay, you're in good company because I just heard the word the other day, Shavuot. So this weekend marks the Christian observance of Pentecost, and we know what that means. Originally, Pentecost is a harvest festival, but in the book of Acts, all of a sudden, it became a different tradition. It became the birthday of the church when the Holy Spirit, like tongues of fire, descended on the shoulders of the disciples. And if you follow the story, Jesus already ascended into heaven after the resurrection, as he promised. But he promised that he will give his disciples the Holy Spirit, the advocate, and it was a gift from above. Now, for the Jewish community, there is a feast commemorating the giving of the Torah to Moses, the law of Moses in Mount Sinai. And so for the Jewish community, it is called Shavuot, or the giving of the sacred writings of the law. Torah can mean a lot of things. It can mean the first five books of Moses. It can mean the book of the covenant. Or in some other Jewish tradition, it can mean a way of life if you are in alignment with God. So you know what alignment is, right? If you are not aligned, if your vehicle is not properly aligned, then it will cost you a lot. So alignment really is being in tune with God and being in step with the grace and with the purpose of God. And as I said, I think it was only this week that I learned about the word Shavuot for the first time. So all of these years, I didn't realize that there is such a word. I know what Pentecost is. And then I discovered that Pentecost and Shavuot are similar, that in the sense that both are harvest festival or grain festivals. Both happened 50 days after Easter. Both happened between the gap between Passover and the giving of the law. Now, there are scholars who believe that the followers of Jesus, which means Jewish followers, all of Jesus' followers were Jewish, were gathered together in that locked room for the Feast of Shavuot. The connection is that Jesus, in our own understanding, is indeed the fulfillment of the law in obedience to God. And therefore, Jesus, by the grace of God, is our own salvation. Now, the connection is really interesting. It gets interesting from here. The Jewish holiday is observed by the reading from the book of Ruth. And many of you know the story of the book of Ruth. The story of the woman who claimed the God of Naomi and eventually accepted the Torah. You know the familiar reference, and I often use in weddings and in other celebrations. I use this. I offer this to couples. You know this, the reading. Naomi gave the blessing to Ruth because Ruth had lost her husband, and Naomi said, "Why don't you follow in the footsteps of my other daughter who lost her husband? Go back to your own people. It's better there. There is nothing here for you." But you know the story. Ruth instead replied, "Don't ask me." I love the other reading. The other reading says, "Don't press me," or "Don't push me." You know, "Don't let me do this." The reading says, "Don't ask me to leave you or to turn back from you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God." from the book of Ruth. We know in the story that later on, Ruth remarried to Boaz. Well, Boaz was an older gentleman, but don't worry about that. Age doesn't really matter in the Bible because the blessing is given equally to all, young or old. So don't worry about the age. But in the marriage lineage, the lineage of Jesus was linked all the way to the tribe of Judah. Can you imagine this? Ruth gave birth to Obed, the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. Jesus was often referred to as the son of David, which was the title for the deliverer of Messiah. Now, if you can appreciate the connection, Ruth was the great-grandmother of Jesus. If it were not for that story, if it were not for her faithfulness to God, the Shavuot, then we would not have any celebration of Pentecost after all, the Feast of Pentecost. Because this is the pivotal turning point for the people of God. And when we look at the book of John, the disciples were huddled in their locked room because they were so afraid that someone will come and get them after the resurrection of Jesus. They were locked in their own rooms. I think they have a term nowadays, especially when faced with this kind of situation as we have seen in places like England or even in the United States. You know, you shelter in place, isn't it? You take cover. You take care of yourselves from potential threats. But in the midst of these potential threats, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on the gathered community, the breath of life. Now, I was reading the other day, and I read that there is a certain narcissism or love of self whenever we think about, well, I need to take care of myself first, or I need to take care of my family first. You see, there's nothing wrong for love of family, for example. It is a prime example why we need to care for oneself. If we don't take care of ourselves, how can we take care of our own family? You know, there's nothing wrong, for example, if we continue to love for our country, because that's the patriotic thing to do, but not at the expense of others. You know, every year during my conference time, I'm often asked by my superintendent or whoever is in charge at that particular time, I'm asked the same question, you know, Romir or Pastor, how are you taking care of yourself? And of course, I use the familiar line and I say, well, I try to do exercise, I try to do walking, I try not to go to Asian Noodle House, you know, it's a Chinese place, or I try not to go to Baskin Robbins or some other place, and I usually say this with my head bowed, because in humility I know that I was straddling the line between truthfulness and whatever that means. But that is a real question, because the question is, are you taking care of yourself? And there's a certain kind of guilt, because you know, in the past, we used to stay at home. They call it staycation, isn't it? You just stay home for many different reasons. But you know, how do we take care of ourselves? And I read this morning or last week that we have no choice but to take care of ourselves, because once we take care of ourselves, we have an opportunity to redeem the world. You know, the Jewish tradition have a beautiful world. It's called tikkun, which means there's an opportunity to repair the world and its brokenness. I think that is the most beautiful thing about taking care of ourselves. But here is the problem. The problem is if we get stuck on taking care of ourselves alone, that is not healthy. Because as a community of faith, especially during Pentecost, the church is invited to invest in the world. To do against that is really a violation of God's will for our lives. Because we are invited to flourish in spite of our differences, in spite of our own different talents and our own abilities. We are invited to invest in the world. And that is why Pentecost is so beautiful for me. Because in the book of Colossians, it says, set your minds and keep them on what is above, what is higher. So that Pentecostal spirit is bringing the people together from many different backgrounds and reminding us that we are one in the spirit of the living Christ. The other day, I read a beautiful quotation, and it's really trending in Twitter. I love that because I learn a lot of things. And this is the trend from a Japanese writer by the name of Haruki Murakami, who wrote about a dystopian society, you know, as opposed to a utopian society. Dystopian is so dysfunctional. Utopian is really an ideal world. And he wrote, time flows on strange ways on Sundays, and sights become mysteriously distorted. And a lot of people have been tweeting that. Time flows mysteriously on Sundays, and sights become mysteriously distorted. So I have to research some more and find out what is really the context of these words, because people have been tweeting about these words. What I do understand in the book of Acts is an amazing thing happened as they huddled together. Time flows, and the Spirit of the living God was present. It's the church fully alive. It's the church fully invested in Jesus Christ. And that is why time flows, especially on a beautiful Sunday like this. So the gift of the Pentecost is not some kind of strange phenomena where people have been speaking in different tongues and yet understanding one another. And in another reading, I realized that this is actually the reversal of the Tower of Babel. You know, in the Tower of Babel, you know that people were confused and they started to speak in different language and there's no understanding. In the book of Acts, they were speaking in different tongues and yet people can understand one another. And that is why it makes sense when we sang the hymn, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And we know that it is the Spirit of the living God. I suppose that truly makes sense. Remember in the book of John, the Spirit is described as someone who comes alongside us, who advocates for us with equal measures to send us forward, not to bring us back. That's what you call nostalgia. But rather to bring us forward in faith. The Spirit is bold, able to make things happen, and it is full of courage. And finally, we cannot leave the story without mentioning the different language that were heard. But they were able to understand one another. I believe that God has given each one of you today the language of the heart with beautiful accents to add to your beautiful expressions of faith. I believe during this season of Pentecost, when we adorn our language, the language of our own hearts, in all of our conversation, it invites us further, deeper into the mystery of what God is saying to all of us. You know, we have a prayer response, and some of you are familiar with this prayer response. You know, hear my prayer, O Lord, incline thine ear to me. You know, you've heard that so many times before. But think about that. God inclining his own ear to us, to listen to us. So whenever the church gathers for worship, now it doesn't matter whether you are in a small church, a gathering of 10 people or 15 people, or a medium-sized church or a large church in a big assembly, whenever the church gathers for worship, guess what? Jesus is there. You know the only requirement in the Bible for the church to be the church? Two or three. And when there's more, it's an added blessing that God has given us. And it's interesting that whenever Jesus shows up, for example, for a meal, you know, he's always the honored guest. Can you imagine that? Jesus was homeless, really. No place to go. And all of a sudden, he's always invited to these different places. But Jesus is always the host, breaking bread. And in some tradition, they said, the bread becomes the very face, the very essence of God. The wine, an ordinary wine, becomes the life source, the life-giving source from our God. In Appalachia, in which we are going this week, they have a tradition that when there is leftover in this community, they call it ample generosity. That is something that is shared to all of us. So in this season of Pentecost, God has given us ample generosity to be a blessing, to give grace and peace. Amen.